Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For 25 years, Seth Lightman has seen it all. From the newest electric car revolution, solar power, bike lanes made in NYC, and now we are here. More electric cars, need for more renewables and eco-friendly products in our world. Well, now it's time for an all-out podcast for this time. You're listening to The Green Living Guy Show. He's funny, real, exactly on point, and some think his style is so raw, it's crazy. Let's do this, folks. It's time for The Green Living Guy Show with Seth Lightman.
Hey, Green Living Guy here. I want to talk to you about Xos for a second. They're a new sponsor of mine and are a manufacturer of fully electric commercial vehicles. They focus on last mile delivery, you know, trucks that transport money and valuables for Loomis, deliver packages for FedEx Ground, and transport linens and textiles for UniFirst. They travel up to 200 miles and are purpose built for commercial use. Did I say all electric? All electric trucks, yo. See Xos Trucks at xostrucks.com. Check them out, xostrucks.com.
Green Living Guy, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? What a great day it is today. Besides the fact that there's a little bit of sun out here on the New York side, test driving a Cadillac ELR, the plug-in hybrid electric car. It is fantastic, not as great as an all-electric car, but hey, I'll take what I can get, and it is looking good. They're definitely trying to compete with Tesla on this one. Heads up, Tesla. Not that Elon Musk has to worry about it. But we're here for some other great reasons, ladies and gentlemen. The amazing, and I like to call him the chairman of the board when it comes to green, Mr. Ed Begley Jr. Ed, what is going on? How are you,
Everything
sir?
Is great, Seth. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful over here. How is it over there? How's the weather over there on the West
Coast? The weather is great. It's a very pleasant 81. My solar panels are blazing.
All right,
good. 6 kilowatts of solar on my roof. It charges my electric car. I have an old electric car at this point. It's old. Got in 2002, a Toyota RAV4 pure electric. Still running good. And 12 years later, 120,000 miles, I think. It's running good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember when I used to work for the state of New York, the Power Authority, we used to have a bunch of RAV4s. That was the only car that I felt confident driving from White Plains, New York, Westchester County, down to Battery Park and back on a charge. And it would do it.
You could get 86 miles as long as you don't go 75 or 80 miles an hour. If you go like 60, 65 miles an hour, you can get that full 86 miles out of it because there's a lot of wind resistance in the car. It's not like a Tesla or an EV1 design where it's real sleek. It's just a regular RAV4, kind of a boxy thing. And the rolling resistance on the tires is not great either. So 86 is the best you're going to get. But I've gotten that going slow enough, you know, 58 to 60, I've gotten that.
Yep. Well, on the West Side Highway, stop and go, maybe you're getting 45, 50. And then I'm taking the Bronx River Parkway, which is on or about that speed, too. So it was pretty easy. Well, I just want to announce also, ladies and gentlemen, that for the first time ever, we're having a new edition co-host, Dana Ruggiero, who's on the line with us. I like to call her for the radio essence here, Dana D, and she's just always bringing the heat, and she's always a great conversationalist, so I decided to bring her in on the Blog Talk Radio show. So there's two great people on the show today, the amazing chairman of the board, Ed Begley Jr., and Dana Ruggiero. So welcome, Dana. Welcome to you,
Thank
too.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. She's in North Carolina as we speak. So she survived all. You're doing all right? The house is okay over there?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing the effects of some climate change here in North Carolina.
Yeah, just a little bit, right? Yeah. My goodness.
Last year was the wettest year on record here in Asheville, North Carolina, actually.
So, Ed, you came on to talk about something very interesting that you're working on, a new collaboration with a internet TV station called Bitsize TV, and I'd like to hear more from you about Bitsize TV,
little bite-sized shows, and it's going pretty good. We had a nice Earth Day launch. We had a marathon on Earth Day. Got a lot of hits, a lot of viewers, and so I'm enjoying that. They're doing some very nice shows, so go to bitesizedtv.com, and you'll see my green show. It's called Our Green House.
And this is a regular show that you're going to have now, Ed?
Yeah, we're going to have it. It'll be an internet show. I've had shows in the past on HGTV and on Planet Green, but sadly Planet Green is no more. They folded up their green tent, and they have travel on that channel now. But there's wonderful opportunities out there like Bite Size TV and your wonderful show. There's some good stuff out there for the viewers and the listeners to take part in.
Yeah, they seem like a great bunch. We're going to talk about a bunch of your shows on my site, The Green Living Guy, and we'll talk about all the other great green shows that are out there. But how did you get connected with these guys? It seems like an amazing opportunity. I mean, I was talking with somebody recently saying, you know, they said, what do you think about having an internet channel? I said, well, inevitably the television's going to merge with the internet, and it's all going to be that whole future of broadband that everybody's talking about. So you're really going to be, you're on the future of television right now. Ed,
I think it's a good way to go. I'd like to take credit and say I found these guys, my wife found them, and you know, that's where things are headed. You know, a lot of people like my grown kids that are 35 and 36, they don't have any Time Warner Cable, AT&T U-verse. You know, they just have their internet hookup, their Wi-Fi, and they watch all those shows on Netflix and what have you. They're not partaking of Time Warner Cable or anything like that. So you get your Roku, you get your computer and watch your shows that way. And I think that's the future of things. And we've seen recently what Amazon and Netflix are doing as far as original programming. Things seem to be headed that way, Seth.
Totally.
And can people watch it on their iPads and on the go, too?
Exactly. They watch it iPads on the go. You know, I had a show called Betas that was on. It was just on one 13-episode season, but it was called Betas, and it was kind of outdone by the wonderful Mike Judge. He did that. He has a great show on called Silicon Valley. It was kind of about the same thing, you know, about guys who write code in Silicon Valley.
Yep.
And so Mike Judge did it wonderfully. So
he's great. He's
that fantastic. Show ran 13 episodes, but it was a real show. I went on the set expecting some little internet kind of a show, but it looked like a real network television show with, you know, drivers and trucks and, you know, craft service. And it was a real
thing. So wonderful to see. That's a real indication right there. That's like, you know, okay, it's standing right in front of me. The studio is heading to the internet. I see where this is going, you know?
And you're so great about accelerating the conversations through social media, too, and that's what it's so great. People can talk about it, connect with you, talk about the show, get online, and really talk about the green issues and the solutions.
Yeah, I've gotten somewhat facile with Twitter, so I stay connected that way. I do some stuff Facebook, too. I kind of do that through my webmaster. I tried doing Facebook myself, and it's literally all I did 24/7. I didn't have time to do any acting or any green speeches, any radio shows. I just sat on Facebook all day just to keep up with, hey, Ed, what about such and such? And we went to grade school together and all wonderful stuff. But so now I kind of filter the Facebook stuff through my webmaster, and that seems to work fine. She does a wonderful job with it. But the Twitter I do myself because I can keep up with 140 characters or less kind of conversations, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And just say,
I
saw you in Adam 12, thank you. You know, it's easy to keep up with that. And it's not like I have a million followers. I have, I think, about 28,000 now, so I can keep up with that pretty good.
Yeah, you're a known commodity, Ed. Regardless of number, you're admired, loved within the industry, and not just that, but, you know, I remember watching you as a kid, for goodness sakes, with St. Elsewhere. You know, and now look at Howie. Now Howie, you know, go 30-somewhat years later, and Howie has no hair, but we're still doing the same thing.
Exactly. Howie is so funny. He's such a great guy. I love man. He's really hysterical. And he's always reinventing himself.
And all the young people today, they love seeing you in these new movies. The new movies, I mean, they're hilarious. You are hilarious.
You're very kind.
There's some new movies you're doing that are cracking people up.
I'm very lucky to work with Seth Rogen and James Franco and Danny McBride and that gang from Pineapple Express. And,
oh,
you know, I'm just still working on stuff like you know, Arrested Development. We did another season of that. So Portlandia, awesome. I just did a Portlandia that was on the other night. I'm a lucky man.
It's great seeing you out there, though, representing not just for yourself, but also, you know, people consider you the, you know, the icon for the green movement. So it gives people hope and aspiration as well. It's a thing that it's like a moment, you know, it's not just that you bring such great comedy or such, even I remember you once you were on the Law and Order, right? Or something of that nature relating
I've
to
done
crime.
Some other show like I haven't done Law and Order yet. I'd love to do one. It's a great show, but I've done,
right.
I did. Oh yeah, I did. It was Boston Legal. And what was that? There was another
Boston
one that was
Legal.
A more serious show. Oh, my God, what was that show? It was another lawyer show, and I can't remember
right.
what it was, but I did one of those, I guess.
Okay.
My brain's
yeah,
gone. I can't remember
that. I just remember
that.
Seeing you very, you know, you're so versatile, and it also shows the versatility of you, not just the comedic side, which, believe me, I could turn on Pineapple Express after we're done after this interview and just watch it 15 times because I love it so much. But, I mean, you bring it and you represent, and that's what makes life great, having people like you around to watch and enjoy not just entertainment, but, you know, after we do that, we can have something to talk about, like the environment.
And one feeds the other.
Change.
If I stay busy as an actor, that gives me more of a voice and a platform to get the green message out.
Amen.
And they complement each other if you do it right.
Yeah. And I think that's what's great about even social media, too, because then it interconnects you with your audience, and they then
right.
want to come and listen to you. So it all interplays together, and you're just handling it so well.
You're very kind.
I'm going to go back to an old question I did, because it's been such a while since we've talked together, is how did you start being green, Ed? You're like me on the one small step at a time thing. And I remember you talking about it once at the Go Green Expo. I have a video of a couple of videos of you interviewed there. And I just remember how you put it to people. And it was so poignant. So I just want to bring that discussion out again for people, the rest of the audience listening with your home.
Well, I started in 1970. And the reason I started was because of the smog in L.A. You know, the smog was so horrible back in 1970. I'd lived through two decades of it at that point, that when they said, oh, we're going to have something called Earth Day, and it's going to be an attempt to clean up the air and clean up the water, I went, sign me the hell up. We need to clean up the air.
Yeah.
I've been living with it for 20
exactly.
years, the 50s and 60s. That air was horrible. So
yeah.
I did what I could back in 1970, and lo and behold, not only was I doing good things for the environment, but I realized I was saving money. Because everything I did on a real budget. You know, I was a broken, struggling actor. I couldn't afford fancy solar panels, but I could afford riding the bike, taking public transportation, recycling, turning the thermostat down the winter, up in the summer, all that stuff. You can see the common thread there. All of it was really cheap,
yep.
and pretty soon I had extra dough in my pocket. I went, I like this green stuff. You know, it's good for the other green, that stuff called money.
Yeah. Here, here.
And now L.A. is... I mean, they're looking at those solutions to move beyond coal. And, I mean, that pollution that comes from the electricity, I mean, you're one of those first people that really started bringing attention to that. Thank you.
Well,
yeah.
thank you for being part of it, too. You're doing a great job there in
yes.
North Carolina, and it's admirable. And you, too, Seth. You know, I've been
thank
spreading
you,
the word because this stuff works. I know that solar power works. It's been powering my house and charging my car since 1990. I know that wind power works. I've owned a wind turbine in the California desert, part of a wind farm. That's been my personal investment has been putting out many homes worth of power
that's awesome.
Since 1985. That's 29 years of getting checked.
I didn't even know that. See, you
wow.
learn something every day. Ed Begley has a wind farm. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here first.
Just one turbine at a wind farm, but I have one small piece. Oh, I just remembered the name of the show, The Practice.
Please.
That was a lawyer show that I was on.
That was it. Yes, thank you. Oh, my God. I remember that show so well.
That was 1999. My God, that was a while ago.
Yeah, and you were a really intense actor on that. You were like a defendant, I remember, right?
Well, I was a witness, really, a professional kind of a witness, an expert witness. And so I came in, I was a medical examiner and testified,
right.
and they kind of turned the tables, and they came after
that.
Me big time and
right.
you know, accused me of all kinds of horrible things. But
and
what
you
a good show that was.
Yes, and how you reacted, it was like so intense. So that's
bless
awesome.
You.
There we go. So one thing I remember, too, when we were talking was just how, like, a simple idea of, you know, just screwing in a light bulb or even getting, like, a bat of insulation and just doing
right.
one thing at a time can add up more than people realize. And I wanted you to talk about your steps, or which ones you realized were like really helping you when you did your home.
Yeah, exactly, Seth. You don't run up Mount Everest. You get to base camp and you get acclimated and you do what you can to do today. You know, today it's so much easier than it was in 1970. You go out to Home Depot, Costco, anywhere. You buy energy-efficient light bulbs, put them in, instant savings right away. And your next energy bill, you're going to see it's lower. Same thing with an energy-saving thermostat. Same thing with weather stripping. Cheap and easy, put them up. You'll see in your next utility bill, oh, my God, he wasn't lying. This stuff actually works. You get a taste for it, then maybe you want to do some more. And, you know, that's what I've been doing now for a while. Do the cheap and easy stuff. Vampire power, there's another good one. All this stuff, it's also called phantom power, vampire power. As the name suggests, the vampire sucks from you, gives you nothing in return. All these things you have plugged in around the house that aren't doing anything when you leave the house. They aren't doing anything when you go to sleep. You don't need them plugged in, so you don't have to unplug every single plug, but you put them on power strips. Now you have one, two, three maybe around your whole house, and you go and turn them off when you go to sleep, turn them off when you're out of the house. And here's a quick list for people, the things you do not want to put on those power strips. You don't want to put on your clock radio so it's blinking midnight. You don't want to put on your answering machine to fax if you have one. You don't want to put on your, you know, like AT&T U-verse or your cable box, or your satellite box or what have you, DirecTV. You don't want to go finding satellite, you know, for 10 minutes before you want to watch. But you put everything else on. All those like little speaker systems for your computer that boost the sound of the computer. Other little, anything that has a transformer on it, anything that has that little plug-in box that's attached there or has a solid-state front end, you put all those things on the power strips and you go around the house, turn them off. Next utility bill, for just buying a few power strips for, you know, like $5, $6, $8, you'll see an immediate utility bill. That's a good deal.
Right, right. And I've tested, one of them was Excel, A-C-C-E-L-L. They gave it to me. They said it would be appropriate. They gave me the Green Genius. And they, of course, I'm using it in my son's room with all the devices he has. And he's got about 4, 5, or 6 plugs on there. But I'll tell you, once he put them on there, because the computers were running, you know, regularly or all that kind of stuff, I saw a difference. The other place I put it was the entertainment center I put it, except for the cable box, of course, right? But all the other things, and I started to see a difference. Now, I spent about, I don't know, one of them was about $40 and the other one was given to me, but I had to write about it. But the bottom line was I started to see a savings off of a couple of power strips.
Yeah. Isn't that unbelievable?
That's something that not just individuals, but I mean, if you're looking at that rate at companies, I mean, companies do that. They're going to save a lot of money, right?
Oh, gosh.
Big time. And here's what I recommend to people who say to me, I want to do something for the environment. They say even more precisely, say, I want to get solar. I said, good. Here's a number to call. Acme Home Energy Audits. No, I want solar. I said, I know you want solar. But before you get that solar, I want you to do a home energy audit. For every dollar you spend on energy efficiency, you're going to save $5 on the cost of your solar system. You've got to reduce your demand first. So do the home energy audit. Then I hope you still want to get solar after that. I want you to get it. But do that first things first. Reduce your demand. They may want to sell you a 4-kilowatt system before you reduce the demand. After you do that, you may need a 2 or 3 kilowatt. You're going to save a lot of dough.
Right.
And we have a lot of groups around here that are doing, they'll help you. They'll come out to your home, energy efficiency programs almost in every city, right? I mean, it's easy to find somebody that will help.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and they're getting free now. Before there used to be a thing where you had to pay, you know, $100
for free
or something
now.
Like that. Free. Courtesy of your respective state and the local utilities. I mean, they're bringing it to you. They just are begging you to do this stuff. And I think that helps the market as well, because then people, after they've gone through that threshold and they've taken care of the energy efficiency, then they can go the big leap, which is the solar. And I think that majority of Americans out there could use a bat of insulation in their roof or something like
they
that.
They could. And people say to me, yeah, people regularly say to me, I can't afford a fancy RAV4 electric car like you. I can't afford, you know, that 6 kilowatts of solar like you. I say to them, neither could I when I started. I'm not suggesting you do it any different than me. In 1970, I didn't run out and buy 1970 crazy expensive solar panels. I did what I could. It took me 20 years, 2 decades to save enough money to be able to afford 1990 solar. So do it just the way I did. Do the light bulbs and the thermostat and the weather stripping. Now, here's one thing I want to say about, there's a lot of naysayers who say, we're in such trouble, light bulbs aren't going to save us. Bike riding, Ed Begley's wrong, that's not going to save us. I say to them this, you're correct. But if all you have, you're not at the emergency room yet, you know, you're out somewhere away from a hospital and all you have in your hand is a handkerchief, and you have a head wound, yes, I'm going to hold that handkerchief to my head and try to make it to the emergency room. The emergency room is massive solar panels in this country, massive amounts of wind turbines and what have you, massive amounts of geothermal, moving towards renewable. That's the emergency room. But until such time as we can get there to the emergency room, hell yes, I'm going to hold a handkerchief to my head, which is the light bulb and the bike riding and the thermostats and the weather stripping. So that's what I recommend. Do that stuff now and maybe we'll mitigate the damage from climate change and, you know, make the loss a little less severe.
Yeah, that's I'll throw one out at you. My school district, Barcliff Manor School District, we decided to do LEDs, light emitting diodes, in our parking lots and our gymnasiums, which are, of course, the larger consumption ones. And I also donated a couple of bulbs myself from MSLA Lighting and then this other company that gave me one. It was a big one, so it was perfect to put in like one of those high bays. We've started to do the calculations of just that. We didn't do any of the T8s, I'm explaining for the viewers also, you know, the stick strips of lighting that you would see in a ceiling. We didn't do any of those. But with just doing the parking lots and the gyms and a couple of extra bulbs here and there, they're saving close to $40,000 a year.
Listen to that. I hope the listeners heard what you just said. And here's the great thing. Not only are you going to save a massive amount of money on your electric bill right away, here's what you're going to do in the long run. Those bulbs last a lot longer than incandescents. Yes. They even last a lot longer than the old CFLs. Now, let me increase the savings for a lot of places like schools and institutions and factories. There's, number one, the electric use you're going to save. Number two, the life of it you're going to save in that way. Here's the third way you save. Many factories and places, they got to keep a person on payroll. They got to hire them. There's a wage involved in getting a man or woman up on what's called a scissor lift or something, a big ladder, to get up and replace those bulbs up in the ceiling or what have you. It takes man hours or woman hours to do that. You're saving cost, too, that you're not having to pay somebody to replace those bulbs as often. There's three ways you save with those energy-efficient light bulbs. Three.
Yep. The funny part was this savings that I'm explaining to you and to the viewers doesn't even include the maintenance savings.
Wow.
Or the
HVAC
saving. Doesn't even include that. So we have another guy who's on the committee with me for energy efficiency for the school, and he does all these calculations. So I'm giving him my numbers, and he's going to come back and calculate it, and then we're going to do a whole story about how much we're saving just by doing that. Just by
Good.
Doing that.
Good. That's another calculation. I hope people understand that part of it. Your HVAC savings, if you don't have these little mini toasters called incandescent lights, or even to a much smaller extent, the CFLs, the LEDs are so cool when they're lit up that you are saving money. You're not having to fight those lighting instruments with your air conditioning trying to cool the place off that's being heated up by lighting. So there's other savings, too, with the lighting.
That's correct.
I love how you said that, too, Seth, that you're going to share those stories because, you know, one school does it. If you talk about it and then you kind of take that toolkit almost, share it, you know? Why rewrite the book? I mean, that's what's so great about you, Ed, I think, just getting people to really break it down. And, you know, if one person does it, talk to your neighbors, talk to your coworkers. You get somebody that'll be a champion in a company of a green team or whatever, you know. It just multiplies.
It does. And if you want any evidence, some very clear evidence, empirical evidence of how inefficient, incandescent, the old-style Thomas Edison light bulbs are. God bless him. It was a wonderful invention for its time, but it's a few years later now. Just go to any toy store and look at something called the Easy Bake Oven. It's something that young girls, I imagine, today young boys get an Easy Bake Oven. But the Easy Bake Oven was a toy that would actually cook and bake these kind of things. And what is the heating source for an Easy Bake Oven? Both of you probably know. A light bulb, just like a little 40-watt, not a 60-watt light bulb, but like a 40. And a 40-watt light bulb in this little tiny kid's oven would be enough to heat up things and kind of bake things. So there you go. Case closed.
And it's a good point that you bring up about it was a great technology or a great innovation at its time, But, you know, I work here with a group called Accelerating Appalachia, and it's exciting to see these entrepreneurs today, young people, even older people. I mean, that there is nothing that limits us. There's no reason we have to stick with those old light bulbs. There's no reason we have to stick with coal. There's no reason we have to keep doing what we're doing. Let's innovate, you know?
Yep.
That's what you're going to be talking about on this show and on your social media. And what, you know, what way can we, you know, inspire people to say, what's the great way that you explain it, you know, and really break it down to say, we don't have to keep doing it the way that we're doing it. You know, that's the past.
Well, there are different choices now. And the good
that
thing,
is correct.
Ed, as we know now, because of what has happened in the past, I don't know, 10, 20 years related to technology, is costs have come down of all of these things. So
yes.
They're cost competitive. They're to the point now where people are going to Costco buying LEDs versus
yep.
buying incandescent. And you can go to the Home Depot and you can sign up for their new solar program, which, by the way, I'm going to just joke with them and
isn't
all
that amazing?
Solar, they call it now, and how appropriate, because one of my books in my Green Guru Guide series was Solar Power for Your Home. So they're calling it, guys, Solar Power for Your Home. The only difference was they didn't capitalize the Y in your. But that's all right. Hey, I'll take it however I can get it, you know?
Me too.
And I think it's great that it, because I've shared my books with Home Depot Corporate, so they know what I'm up to. And it's just great. I walked in, I almost fell over laughing, like, hey, whatever works, get them going.
Right,
you know?
Whatever gets people to listen.
Whatever gets people in the door, that's fine with
me. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about it.
That's
you know,
great, actually,
you know? You know,
you're writing the book, you know?
Hey,
on how
hey, well, I'm trying one day at a time.
Both of you.
You know? Yeah, well, it's great to have people like Ed on, you know, it really re-energizes everything. Not that I'm not already, as Dana knows, energized, but it's going to definitely help keep the ball moving forward. Yeah, I remember even when I wrote my first book, the first question I had to people was like, well, I got to talk about in the book Ed Begley's RAV4. I mean, I just have to. I said, forget Clooney with that tango. I'm like, he's been doing this since the beginning. You know, he's
auto companies have come such a long way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, car companies now, I know you were working with Ford Motor Company on their Focus Electric.
I was. I worked with them for a while. They're doing great things, even though we're not working together anymore.
Yeah.
I'm happy to support them and talk about what a great car that is.
Yeah, I think one thing that I noticed about, which is going to be a great thing for the Focus going forward, is that they redesigned the look of the Focus. It looks kind of like now a mini Fusion.
Yeah.
So it's got that front end look that looks a little bit like a Jaguar, that nice polished look, and it really looks a lot better than it has in years. And I think that in itself can help sell this car because they even brought the price down. You know, it's closer to 30 versus 40,000.
Right.
You know, they're starting.
I'm going back to innovation, but did you say, Ed, the new seat, the solar powered, the new prototype for the C-Max Solar Energy? It's cool.
No,
oh, yeah,
I haven't seen that. Tell me more.
Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, we got to see it up in Detroit at the auto show. Went to go check out all the new electric and hybrid vehicles with Seth in January. And, you know, it's just the prototype. One cool thing was they didn't launch it at the auto show. They actually launched it at the tech show. Or,
yes.
What, you know, so it was kind of more mainstream. It's a crazy idea, you know, but why not, right? Why not?
You're talking about a car? This is a car?
Yes,
the solar
power
is on the top.
Yep, the C-Max Energy. Yeah, yeah. They got a thing going on with Georgia Tech, and they're creating canopies for people that will, if you leave the car there, help you charge the car and magnify that charge for you. So the idea of having a solar power on your car becomes much more realistic now based on the
good.
New charging.
I'm happy to
now.
Hear that because I was hesitant for a second hearing about that because as you know, you can't fit enough solar panels on the roof of a car or anything to have any meaningful charge for the main pack. You can charge your 12-volt, but a canopy, now you're talking. Now you
yep.
can, you know, unfold that canopy, whatever way they've configured it, and you get enough square footage. You have something like the size of a, you know, a small bus worth of panels, and that can charge, you know, a small car.
you know, with just the ratio of panels to car is something like that. And I'm sure they've worked out the size of that and the wattage of that in a meaningful way. That is the best news I've heard in a long time. Wow.
We'll tweet those stories over to you, Ed, so that you can see the with the pictures and stuff so that you can get an idea of what we're talking about. Yeah, it was a real amazing thing they did. And like what Dana said, Dana D bringing it to us is that, you know, they launched it at the tech show.
That's fantastic.
Didn't even do it at the auto show. They're like,
I love it.
Hey, tech,
I love
you know, hey, early adopters or hey, tech guys, check out what we're doing. We're going to make it so you won't even have to worry about charging it over time.
Brilliant.
You're going to just
use
it on the roof. Yeah.
That's the
and
best
that's
news
like you
I've
having
heard.
Your new show available on these, everybody now, on the go, on the mobile app, on your iPad, on your internet TV, you know, having that tech element, it's just, it's good,
yeah,
right? I mean.
Yeah, well, the bite-sized TV shows that you're going to do are really going to help people out, and it's on a regular basis, right?
Correct.
I'm
shooting again today with it. We're shooting all the time. So that's great news. That's exactly the kind of thing we want to talk about.
Yeah, and we'll get the stories out to people about the shows so that the people are aware of the programming that's finally back. I hate to use it this way, but it's finally back again.
I think so.
Because we had it with Planet Green, and that went down like a blaze of glory. My 80s rock band.
Yep.
Adage.
Seth
but then
music.
You know, but then all of a sudden, you know, look what happens. The internet took over, and it's kind of like the where Treehugger TV even kind of took off. It was like right before Treehugger got bought by Planet Green, they were going to TV on the internet, and they were almost there, and people were starting to watch, and then they got bought by the network. But you are just saying, I'm going to keep going the way that they were going, which is internet TV, which is inevitably going to be the future of television anyway. My kids watch more YouTube than they do television.
Yep.
You know, they watch more Instagram, Twitter. What's that short Instagram, Dana? The short videos that you can do?
Vine.
Bam. They got Vine. All these new
and you can, any listeners say you can connect up with Ed Begley Jr. at that, at Ed Begley Jr. on Twitter and find out and connect and talk, you know, right now or when,
is
you
it
know,
Ed Begley or Ed Begley Jr.?
Yeah, it's Ed Begley Jr. for Junior. Ed Begley Jr. My Twitter handle. So anybody wants to follow me, go to there.
Okay. We'll hopefully get you a bunch of people and we'll shout out people got to follow you and the show also.
Thank you, buddy.
We want people to follow the show. That's the most important thing.
Exactly.
I loved watching you back in the day in that old show. And we talked about the relationship that you had back then with your wife and how it was brought on for television a little bit. It was an interesting dichotomy going on over there. But
big
that
time.
It also was, how do I say, it was made for television kind of thing. It was almost like pre-Bravo.
Right.
Where they kind of jack it up for no reason kind of thing. So
exactly.
Sometimes
those reality shows are not so real, and they tried to fudge things a bit in our show. Not much, but they try to enhance things and make things a little more accentuated, a little amplified, and we held the line pretty good on that. There wasn't too much bogus stuff on our show.
No, there wasn't. No. But you saw what they were trying to do, and it was like, oh, God, really? And I remember one time I asked you, I was like, Ed, it's really not that bad, right? And you're like, no, we did it all for television. I was like, I thought so, but I had to ask.
Perfect example. They had an episode in which I'm taking my wife, Rochelle, and people at that point knew who Rochelle was. I'm taking her up to Lodi, California, to see a methane recovery plant. Now, like, she's going to go there to begin with. She's not going to go with me to methane. That's A. And then B, the capper was, I'm taking her there on our anniversary. Okay.
Oh.
That's just something that's not going to happen. But they wanted that kind of over-the-top thing, and so we did it. We begrudgingly did it, but people wrote in and went, was that for real? I went, no.
No, not at all.
I'm not going to lie to the fans.
Yeah. It's,
just having you there and having those kind of reality shows, which is so popular, you know, and it just brings you to that element. You're just in every space, you know. It's good.
What was kind of encouraging to me was how savvy the fans were. There was another bogus moment
that people caught in droves. They wrote me and said, that was baloney, wasn't it? And I said, it absolutely was. What they had was they set up a bunch of water bottles, because I stopped drinking bottled water years ago. I just get a metal refillable bottle, and I fill it up with filtered tap water, and it's fine. It's very safe water. It's cheaper than bottled water, and it's really safer. There's more regulations on the tap than there are in bottled water. So that's what I do. So they had an episode which I open this door in our kitchen, a cabinet door, and I look in there, and there's a hole. There's like 30 bottles of water, plastic bottles of water. I go, Rochelle! You know, I yell at her to come to talk about it. Okay, that's the moment. People knew it was bogus. You know how they knew it? Because the production crew had taken the labels off, you know, as they have to do. So you can't give a pitch to Avion or Arrowhead. They took all the labels off, and people went, I know that's bogus because they had some crew member take the labels off, right? I went, absolutely. People are more savvy now than they ever have been about, you know, the inner workings of shooting on a show, and they knew because the labels were off, it was all bogus. What customer takes the labels off of the bottles? Nobody. But they knew the crew would, and so they knew it was a setup. Anybody that wrote me, I said, absolutely, it was completely bogus, and good on you for catching it.
Yeah, I love social media that you can just ask you that.
Yeah. Sorry, what's that, Seth?
I was saying it's a lot cheaper to take off the labels than to pixelate. For the
exactly. And some of them even knew that. They go, I bet it costs money to pixelate it out, to what they call greeking it out, to greek it out or pixelate it out.
Right.
That did it.
Right.
They save money, right? I said, absolutely.
Absolutely. Just take those labels off. Don't make it easy on us.
But then what they really caught us on, which was true, I said, well, we're going to return those bottles. I'm going to have Rochelle take them back. They went, you can't take them back because you took the labels off. I went, you know, damn it, you're right. You can't take them back. What are they going to do with them then?
Oh, no.
Oh, so you just had to put them in the recycling bin, and that was it.
Yeah, I gave it to the crew. It was their carbon footprint, not mine. I said, you guys came up with this for cocked idea. You take them and drink them on some other show, not on mine. Because on my show, everybody had their own personal refillable water bottle. They weren't allowed to have water bottles that kind of, you know, throw away recyclable PET bottles. So I said, you guys take them. They're yours. They ain't mine. And they did just that.
That's a cool idea of, like, greening your show and not just also being talking about it and doing the amazing things you're doing sort of at home and at work. But what are some ways that you can green a set, you know? I mean, that's a cool idea. I like that.
Well, you have to do that because some of the detractors and naysayers make a good point. Many people that are out there talking about it, people with high profile in sports or medicine or show business or law, whatever, politics, they talk about this stuff, but not enough of them are doing it themselves. So if you're going to talk about that, you have to do it. And on a set, you can, of course, have recycling. You can have composting if you're sophisticated enough to do that. You can have the people use their water bottles. And most importantly, green transportation, you know, getting around from point A to point B. Most importantly, have some sort of green power program you sign up for. In my case, when we shot the show, we shot it at our green home. So then all the power used to run the cameras and the lights and everything came from green power from my house. Rather than have, you know, printing up scripts and what have you, because sometimes they would have a shooting schedule or an outline of what we're going to shoot for the day like a script. We never printed that up. We sent it as PDF files or Excel files. In the production office, not just on the set, which is our house, but in the production office, there's many green choices you can make. When you have to print up paper, do it on 100% post-consumer paper. The lighting equipment, to have it be the most energy efficient rather than the old incandescent lights or all, you know, LED or CFL, you know, fluorescent lights to light the set. There's a million things we can do, and we did them all, and we got awards for having the greenest show out there from EMMA, the Environmental Media Association, and
they're
EMMA
great.
Is a group that helps promote green on sets and green messages in TV shows and movies.
Yes,
that's great.
Yes, that's where I interviewed you last, and that was their great organization because they're definitely working with those production crews in Hollywood to try and even recover the things that are used on set so that they can be repurposed for some other show or
correct. They used to throw that stuff in a dumpster, Seth. Now they recycle it. They give it to schools that are doing plays or other, you know, nonprofits or what have you. There's a group called Resets, R-E-S-E-T-S, like, you know, to reuse the sets on a TV show or movie. And so all those old sets that they don't need to store, sometimes they have to store them in case they have to reshoot. And they store them for a period of time, and then they recycle them. But they give them away all this lumber used to go into a dumpster on the movie lot. And now they don't do that. They reuse that. And you go, hey, wait a minute. We need two or three walls of a king's palace for this play that we're doing at, you know, the Burbank High. Can we have that? And this group resets, does that. And they recycle that, and they have a place to warehouse it and distribute it to different nonprofits.
Yeah, I remember when I was working for my student government back in the day, the first thing I looked at was the furniture in the place. It was terrible, so I looked around to see who was selling or giving away furniture, and I found out that a local bank was donating their furniture.
Wow.
Donating. All we had to do was pick it up. So
great.
We got everything, and then the student government said, you know what, if we're going to get this furniture and donate it, and then we're going to donate our stuff to a shelter or something like that, which is what we did, it improved the look of the place just by bringing in repurposed bank furniture. I mean,
how wonderful.
And it just, like, added this level of professionalism that wasn't there before, and they were like, oh, my God. And it was just how the feel of the thing was. And I was going to say also, you know, when it comes to sets, I've noticed a lot of TV sets or show sets starting to do it, even like news shows, because those guys are under the lights all day long. And what you have to do, usually you had to cake them with all that extra makeup or powder. Now you don't have to worry about them sweating as much. I mean,
it helps in a number of ways. When I was a young actor in the 60s and throughout the 70s, you needed 400 foot candles of light to get an F4 and a lens, you know, the kind of a normal opening on a lens to get, you know, good focus. And now you can shoot with 20 foot candles, 10, you know.
Wow.
You used to have so much light, there'd be so much heat on the set and air conditioning blowing, and it was just like you're fighting that heat from those incandescent lights like the Easy Bake Oven. Same kind of a thing. And now lighting instruments on every set are so much more efficient. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, it helps with their costs, too, as well. I mean, it helps.
And digital video is much more light sensitive in a very positive way than the old film. The old film had a very low ASA, a low, you know, ISO number or any of those numbers, and so you needed to pump all kinds of light, you know, onto a set. They had these giant arc lights that took tremendous amounts of current, and now that's not the case anymore. Everything's more efficient, and digital is more efficient than film.
Yeah, it really helped. And, you know, the movie production crews are starting to see this as the future because they see it helping their bottom line as well. You know, so it's not just the green of the environmental benefit, which comes by default. It's showing the bottom line. I'm going to just do one quick shout out before we go. But the greatness of Blog Talk Radio and listening to this is that no matter how long that Ed, Dana, and I talk after this, you'll be able to hear it afterwards. So I encourage everybody, those that listened and those in the future that will be listening, to, you know, play back and listen to everything that we're going to talk about. Ed, I noticed that, you know, let me give another example too. One company such as called, you've probably heard of them, Macy's. They they went from incandescent to LED lighting, and they started in New York State because one of my old stomping grounds, the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, were giving all these lighting incentives, you know, right? What was this, in 08 or 09 or something like that? And they did all this work, and by 2011, the guy got his first power bill, like you said, at the month thereafter, right?
Right.
The month after. And he called up the president of the company and apologized for busting his chops for all those years. He said, now because we see the savings, we're going to do this nationwide, and we don't care if we get the incentives or not, because we determined that just buying the bulbs themselves and the maintenance and the cooling savings and all that stuff that we've been talking about on this radio show here, folks, helped Macy's get, in the hard economic times of 2010 and 2011, they doubled down and invested all in LED. They have, since about 2012, saving close to $80 million.
That's insane. That's so great. I love stories like that.
A year. The funny part was that I found out recently the better customer is not even Macy's. It's Nine West, which is a part of the May Companies, which is owned by Macy's. So Nine West went even further. They said, we're going to do almost all of the stores. And they're saving about $40 million for the May Company annually. Now Abercrombie and Fitch is going to be doing this in their stores.
Let everybody hear this lesson and learn from it, you know, and do it. If you want to save money, go green. It'll mean a lot to that other green that we all care about, which is Dove.
Yes, because we all need that, ladies and gentlemen, to make it work. Not to be happy, but just to make things work, as they say.
Yes, I have to go. I have an 11 o'clock appointment. I urge you guys to carry on, the listeners to stay with it. But I'm so grateful to be on your show. Let's do this again. You talk about the most important stuff, and you have a great way of getting the information out. And I really appreciate it, Seth. Thank you both.
Every time, anytime, Ed. You're always welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, the chairman of the board, Mr. Ed Binkley, Jr. Let's hear it for him.
Thank you
so much,
Thank
Ed.
You.
Yes, thank you, Ed. Have a good one. We're going to keep talking for a few minutes just to keep this going. But, Ed, thank you so much for on the line. Dana, what a show. Huh?
What a show. Anybody that has questions for Ed, too, you can probably tweet him out at edbegleyjr. On Twitter and talk with him.
Yeah, Ed Begley Jr.
He's incredible,
ladies and gentlemen. You know,
I love that he tweets, he responds, he talks with everybody.
Well, I was like doing the show, and he, you know, I said, hey, I'm excited to do the show. Flip. Retweet that.
Amazing.
That's
what it's all about.
It's about everybody working. Let's say it, Dana. Together.
Together.
Here is, like, when we work, and we, Dana, we've talked about this amount of times, and what it will be successful for the green movement going forward is when people collaborate and when people work together, there are amazing things that can happen in groups. It's really surprising. So,
and you see these lists, you know, these census things or whatever, to see what's important to people, and you see these things about health or economy or all these things separated out. And when we talk about green, it's not talking about just about saving the environment, which it is, you know, but also about our health, about the economy, about all these different elements that are one and the same. It's all the same, you know. If you don't use these save the environment, like Ed was saying, you're saving money, but also regardless of whether you believe in climate change or not, even though the scientists, I mean, it's a fact, why keep polluting, you know, with coal? Or why not go home and go energy efficient and save that money, you know? Why not? There is no reason not to get solar panels, you know what I mean? There's no reason not to ride a bike. It's going to be good for you.
Amen. It's good for you. And, you know, Dana, another thing, too, you know, is I remember when I was in the government, thank God I'm not anymore, we used to talk about is, and I tried to convey to people too, which they had a hard time understanding, but now I think people get it, is, you know, the reason Ed got into this was, don't forget, it was 1970s, there was something called smog.
Smog.
Yeah. So he was basically taking care of the air quality and what he was breathing and what he was taking in through his body to survive, right?
Yeah.
So by helping the climate or helping reduce pollution, you also help save lives. Because they talk about asthma rates, they talk about emphysema, they talk about people dying earlier, kids, all that kind of stuff, and they're correlating it to power plants. Well, hello?
Right.
I don't know how much more.
I saw a cute little internet meme, you know, recently going around that was kind of a joke. We talked a lot about technology today, but the idea of if trees provided Wi-Fi signals, then we'd be planting them everywhere, you know. But instead,
they
provide the air we breathe, and we're cutting them down. I mean, and they're so important to preventing climate change and to making sure that we have clean air around the world. And another problem is clean water. People don't have access to clean water, you know, in so many people. There's little things that we can all do here based on our purchasing power in America that can make sure that deforestation or damages to water and air are not happening, not only here but around the world, you know?
Yep. I'll give one to people, and I hate to throw this out, but I'm going to go there, Dana, okay, because I do that, right?
You do.
I do. I bring it. Bring it is palm oil. Now, if you read the recipe on your cookies or on your cakes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not encouraging it, but, you know, I know what's real. And all those sweets and whatever, check to see if there's palm oil in there. Now, if you see palm oil in there, don't buy it. Because guess what the oil is from? A palm tree!
Yeah.
A palm tree.
I'm going to have to put a plug in for, you know, the project, one of the projects I'm working on, the Year of the Living Dangerously documentary. The first episode was about palm oil, about the destruction on Indonesian forests, and how that destruction is impacting our climate, and it is scary. Harrison Ford went to Indonesia and also went to the grocery store, you know, and
he didn't dress up as Han Solo, though, right? He didn't dress up as Han Solo.
No, Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Okay, all right. Well, that's cool.
The Year of the Living Dangerously is on Showtime. It has these celebrity correspondents that go out and talk with scientists, talk with governments, talk with campaigns like the Beyond Coal campaign that'll be on the episode this Sunday. With Ian Somerhalder talking with Anna Jane Joyner of the Western North Carolina Alliance, is the preacher's daughter, and she's trying to tell her father about climate change and convince him. And Marianne Hitt, the director of the Beyond Coal campaign, weighs in as the expert in talking about how coal is our biggest climate disruptor, you know. So we have things from palm oil to climate and coal connections being made, and it's just all of these things that we're doing each minute, you know, every purchase that we make, everything that we eat, everything that we do, it's bigger than what we think it is, and most people think it is, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
It's bigger than just throwing that dollar down and buying that candy bar, you know?
Well, I've noticed something in a sales report recently from Toyota where people want more, right? I was looking at the sales of Toyota Priuses, right? And then the sales of Toyota Prius plug-ins. And, of course, you know where I'm going with this. Where are most sales going and where are most sales dropping? Once people start getting green, they go even greener because they see the opportunity. And I think the things that people can do are so simple, they don't even realize it because it's standing right in front of them. And our job is just to bring the fun, make it acceptable, and bringing it to people, but doing it in a good way so that, you know, no harm, no foul, right? And it's great. So today's small step was I want everybody to go check out, besides my site or danaruggiero.com, and I'll have all of the links, and I think Dana's already on my site anyway in a million different places, but we'll add her to more so that everybody gets to know the next part of the GTG team, the Green Living Guy team here. What we're talking about is Ed Begley Jr. and how he's doing bite-sized TV. He's bringing back, he's almost bringing, like I said, he's taking where the greatness of going green, but also where Treehugger was going, which was Treehugger TV, online television, right, which is internet TV. So he's bringing it now with an actual network that's on TV. Bite-sized TV is actually looks like a real network using real studios and stuff, guys. So this is real. This is the future of television. And I know that there are a lot of people younger than me that are definitely hooked up like to their Netflix or they're getting television online and they're definitely tired of the networks. And not that I am touting one or the other, but I just see where the market is going, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like what we're talking about here. We just want to see where the market's going. And it's clear that people want certain things. Like they want electric cars. They want things that are going to save them money and energy. And they want things that are going to be healthy. You know, nobody wants to eat a fruit that's GMO because it's bad for you. I mean, nobody wants that. But the companies bring that stuff in.
Yeah, because it's not just about us.
In.
It's about our children, our grandchildren, and, you know, taking care of the big picture, our neighbor. Show them some love, people.
So today's small step, and everybody will be able to hear all of this stuff afterward, too, which is the cool part, right? No matter what. People can hear this afterward on Blog Talk Radio. So this little thing that we had, Dana, in addition to the conversation with Ed, is all going to be constantly available on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to link your site onto this episode, so I'll clean up the coding for everybody, and we'll get Dana Ruggiero's link over there. But Dana D is going to be joining us for all of our new stuff. You know, you got the radio on Z100 or whatever, and you always have, like, the people that are hanging out making the show more fun. And one thing I've noticed is Dana D always knows how to make a show more fun. So welcome to the show, Dana.
Thank you so much.
No problem. So again, everybody, one small step at a time for the Green Living Guy show. Today's was, of course, Ed Begley Jr. And stay tuned for all of us with Dana Ruggiero, climate changing. One last thing, a couple of companies. I'd like to thank MSI Lighting for keeping me around. I'd like to thank Echo ATM, which have kiosks in malls across the country. You can go plop your cell phone in there, and you might even get some cash back, holla back. And then Solar City. The three of them are great supporters of the Green Living Guy, including, don't forget, I'd like to thank Dana Ruggiero, who's an also great supporter of the Green Living Guy. And we're going to have some great interviews going forward in the future soon. So hope everybody enjoyed today's show, because I know I did. Right? Right, Diana Day?
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for all you do as Green Living Guy to bring green to the world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're just having fun here, guys. And we're doing it for a great cause, and we're doing it for the health and the environment and people's well-being. So hopefully this will be a good picked-up show. All right.
Wonderful.
Have a good one, guys.
Have a good one.
You've been listening to The Green Living Guy Show with your host, Seth Lightman. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.